On May 25th, 2017, I was given the opportunity to speak to Catherine O'Hara in support of season 3 of Schitt's Creek. And this was right about the time that Schitt's Creek had hit Netflix, and it was all of a sudden everywhere. Now, I was writing for Awards Daily at that point, and my Awards Daily friends and I had always loved Schitt's Creek from day one. We had talked about it ad nauseum on our podcast at the time. And then all of a sudden, when it hit Netflix, it seemed like everybody was encroaching and trying to talk about this show that we had loved for 3 years at this point. And I was so thrilled to be able to talk to Catherine O'Hara at this time. Now, this was not an interview that at the time I was able to publish the full content of. I was only able to publish just a brief excerpt where she talks about the origin of Moira's voice. But I'd love to be able to share with you here at The Contending my full interview with Catherine O'Hara, a very generous 25 minutes of just a beautiful conversation about this actress and you know, really focusing on her performance as Moira Rose. You know, as I listened to it again, I wanted so much more. I wish I had taken more time to talk more about the Christopher Guest films, Best in Show, For Your Consideration, Waiting for Guffman, you know, Beetlejuice, all of the wonderful things that she had done up to that point. And I wish I had had the opportunity to talk about the things that she had done following Schitt's Creek, but I wasn't ready to say goodbye today. And it's been very difficult. It's hit me very hard, more so than I think any other celebrity death, because this was Kevin's mom. This was, you know, I tell her at the end of this interview, when I was 15 in a movie theater watching Home Alone with my parents, I was crying at the end of that film because it is so beautiful, the moment where she finds Kevin at the house and he's alive and he runs and hugs her and their journey is over. It's a beautiful moment. Even today, as I looked at Macaulay Culkin's Instagram post, it just still brings tears to my eyes to think that this woman is no longer with us. And we've lost someone truly great in our lives. So anyway, I wanted to share this with our listeners because it's a great conversation. It's one of my favorite interviews. And she was so open and friendly and funny and generous and lovely. And I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
Calling.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. That's like the best thing that I've heard all day. Hello, Clarence. This is Catherine O'Hara calling.
I'm flattery. Yeah.
Such a huge fan of yours, of your work, and of this show.
Oh, thank you.
I have to tell you, on our site, Awards Daily, we've been covering Schitt's Creek since day one, 3 years ago. And just recently, now that it's been on Netflix, people are telling us, oh, we just discovered this great new comedy at Schitt's Creek. And we're all like, talk to us 3 years ago, because we've been on this since day one.
Thank you. Thank you. That's great. Yeah, it's so great that it's on Netflix. Wow, what a difference it's made.
I know. I feel like it's exploded this year, just in terms of people, you know, the general awareness and just, you know, the buzz around it. But we've always been fans, so...
Oh, thank you. That's very nice of you. Thanks.
So, you've obviously played this vast array of these sort of incredibly memorable characters through your career. Where do you sort of rank Moira in terms of just sheer fun to play?
I don't know. It's a lot of fun, and I'm certainly playing her a lot more than I've played any other character. 4 years now. We're doing our fourth season.
That's right.
Yeah, which is the scary part, kind of signing on for a series, because the only other series I did involved a lot of characters and our own writing and whatever, you know, a lot of freedom, creative freedom. But Eugene and Dan Levy have been, or Daniel Levy have been really open and collaborative with me since day one on this, and I have felt, you know, free to, you know, develop a fun character that continues to be really fun to play. It really helps that she's an actress, or thinks she's an actress anyway, and thinks she can play different characters. And and the wigs thing. I'm glad they went along with that idea because that's really fun to play. And I keep saying fun. Sorry, I should come up with another word, shouldn't I?
Fun works.
But it's lovely.
So you hit on two things I do want to talk about, which is number one, how much involvement do you have in terms of creating her look from the costumes to the hats to those incredible wigs?
Oh, I have the best wardrobe. Jean and Daniel and I had a meeting early on to talk about her look, Moira's look, and I brought a ton of pictures of a particular English socialite, and Daniel just said, "Oh yes," I don't know if he was already thinking that way, but it was just we were definitely on the same page, as they say. It's one thing to agree on that kind of thing; it's another to actually make it happen. And I have nothing to do with that, other than when we're playing with the wardrobe, I'll say, "What about this? What if I actually wear this thing as a hat, and when it's not a hat, or fun with that kind of thing." But otherwise, I have nothing to do with coming up with the clothes. That's all Daniel and Deborah Hansen, our wardrobe designer. And they shop all year because these characters have to have, extremely high-end designer wardrobes, but we don't have that money anymore. So apparently, we have bags that we haven't dipped into yet, and I'm. Just this year, I figured they must be upstairs in the motel.
Yeah, I'm not sure where you're storing all of that.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of suitcases up there full of clothes. We haven't even opened up yet. Yeah. It's fun. Never enjoyed wardrobe fittings in my life until now. Once in a blue moon, you can work with fun people, but, just going in and seeing what somebody else thinks you should look like, it's hard not to take personally. and it's just great. I've never had such stamina for 3-4 hour wardrobe fittings as I have on this. It's really fun. Fun. Again, fun job.
Fun. Well, it's a fun show. So the voice, where does Moira's voice come from? Where does that accent come from?
It's kind of a mix of people I've met. There's one woman who's just very, very feminine, and lovely, and she just has a unique way of putting sentences together. So, and I don't know her that well and haven't really spoken to her much, but she makes an impression. So it's just kind of what I remember of speaking with her and just, going off from there. And I like the idea of being very feminine because, this story starts with us losing everything, and I played a lot of, when I was improvising at Second City Theater, it was just easy to play angry and get in fights and, to have conflict in scenes. And I played a lot of, angry, smart-ass women. So, I'm afraid my inclination would be to be tough on Johnny as Moira. So I really wanted to find a more feminine, softer way to present this woman. And I love when people try to learn a word and then try to put it into their vocabulary for a day or two.
I was just thinking, God, how many times have I said satchel in my life now?
Well, I had a good one. I found a good one last week, unanimous, which is equally stupid. And I was in a town council scene and, they write great dialogue, and sometimes they'll find these great words too and put them in. But what I love to do is get my dialogue and then look up some crazy words and play with my dialogue to add, to make the vocabulary a bit crazier.
So you also talk.
I just like playing sort of an alien human.
Yeah, that an alien in this world of Schitt's Creek. It's completely like a fish out of water. Yes, but she is almost like an alien. She's so far removed from everybody in that town.
Yeah, I think she's pretty alien wherever she is.
True.
She thinks she's a people person,
which is 80% of the comedy there too.
Yeah, I would say you can't go wrong with stupid and sorry. Oh no, now I can't even think of it. Wait. Oh, crappers. Sorry, I'll come up with it. as I always say, and I can't come up with it. But you know, dumb characters who have no sense of who they actually are or the impression they're making on others.
It's just that's absolutely the way that I think I would describe her. You mentioned her being, you know, an actress, quote unquote actress. One of my favorite performances of yours in not my favorite, and we'll get into that in a minute, but one of my favorites is Rooms by the Hour, where she's trying out for that low budget horror film. That's an incredibly ill advised, horrible thing. And you know what's interesting here is that you're doing your performance as Moira, but then you're layering Moira's bad performance on top of that, so it's kind of almost meta that way. Is that old hat for you by now, or is it challenging to sort of strike that tone?
What if it's just as good as I could do?
I don't believe that at all. I literally don't believe that at all.
I was going to say, I couldn't come up with it in my brain, but it's Stupid and Cocky that I think you can't lose with.
Oh, yes.
I think of The Jerk. I think of, you know, The Office.
Yes.
Lead character in Office. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, there's a long history of people in comedy doing Stupid and Cocky. You can hardly lose with that. The bad auditioning. Yeah, it's fun to do that. That's a good fun. Would I stop with the word? You know, it's like playing boring. You want to get boring across, but you don't want to be boring. And when you play bad acting, you want to be bad, but not so bad that it's just bad. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice challenge, I think, not to go overboard. You know, same with singing. You know, when people sing off and then they just sing way off, it's like, okay, that's just stupid. But when good singers do it on purpose, it just sings slightly off, it's good and scary and funny to me. I don't know. I did see that a while ago on an airplane or something, that scene, and it did make me laugh. How seriously, when Moira tries to laugh because the character that she's auditioning to play laughs, mm-hmm. but she can't laugh naturally, so it's just like way too much body involved in the laugh. I don't know. I guess I like being bad, yeah.
So my absolute favorite scene takes place during New Car, where you're sitting with Johnny there in front of and trying to come up with this sad story that you're clearly adapting from the soap opera, and they know that. Was that a scripted moment? Or, you know, what I'm interested in is, you know, you obviously come from this enormous improv background, so I'm trying to, you know, I want to know, was that particular moment scripted? And if, you know, and then how much does improv play into an average episode of Schitt's Creek?
No, I think I kind of improvise with the, when I get the script, then I'll just work on it on my own and kind of play with it then. And I'll, they've given me respect, the Levy men, the Levy gentlemen. So, you know, I respect them and the fact that I will email, you know, Dan and Eugene and say, how about this? If it's anything that affects the other characters in the scene, mm-hmm. I'll say, how about this? If I've, you know, played with the dialogue, I've better rewritten the dialogue. So we have it all kind of set before we get on the set. I just always feel free on the set. And it's not like I feel the need to improvise because I think our scripts are great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, something comes up, maybe something's not working great, or because of something really good in the script, you're just inspired to come up with something else. So I do, and then they're free to cut it or use it. But it's really nice to feel respected and, I don't know, open and free on the set and mm-hmm. encouraged. You know, I don't know why people, you know, kill people's spirits on sets by not letting them try things. I mean, it helps that we all have a history, you know, so we trust each other, but it's just so nice to, you know, not, when I see some of the scenes and stuff's cut, that's fine with me. I get it. You know, I can see why. But I also, because of our training, you know, I won't go that far off of what's there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, basically what I'm saying is I don't feel the need to improvise a lot because we've worked everything out ahead of time. But, you know, it's so much fun on those sets and everybody's so great that you do get inspired. And I'll play with things from take to take. But I'll always give a few takes as written, you know, and then play with a bit. But I guess I'd have to say that because of our training in Second City and SCTV, we, you know, if we improvise a bit of dialogue, it makes sense, you sure. know, and we're not messing with the storyline or messing with the intent of the character in the, you know, in that particular scene, or, you know, you don't just go off.
Right.
Yeah.
And plus it sounds like you've just got so much worked out before you even get on set.
Yeah, yeah. With that car, with the new car one, I think they had written something where I suddenly at the end do an English accent, and there's a woman on Sirius Radio who claims to, she's like a dog whisperer, a dog psychic, a pet psychic. Have you ever heard this woman?
No, I haven't.
That's basically the accent I'm doing. She's just... She's always, she'll take calls. She goes, do you have a red rug, darling? And the woman will say, I can't remember. It's a red rug, darling. She loves that one. She likes to roll up in that one, dear. So if you let it lie in that one, I don't remember having a red rug. Well, if you do, dear, it must be at someone else. Do you have a friend with a red rug? You know, it's like that kind of, sorry, it's ridiculous. So I was kind of stealing her accent, my version of her accent. And then... yeah, but we had worked out, I think we'd worked out the dialogue before we got there, yeah.
So you talked about being so close to the levees. How often, you know, do you guys ever break it when you're filming a scene? Do you just find something just so completely ridiculous that you can't continue?
That's rare, I think, because, you know, if you're in character mm-hmm. as much as you can be, and, you know, someone tries something new. If you're in character, you are often allowed to react sincerely as the character, you know, and sometimes your character will laugh at that. But that's rare. I think you just, you know, if you're in character, then, you know, when the scene's finished or that take is finished and you hear cut, then there's often kind of an explosion then of people laughing.
Right.
But you try not to blow it in the moment because it's, you know, that moment will never happen the same again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, I don't like to see, I mean, when it's sincere and you think somebody can't help it, but I generally don't like seeing people break up and stuff, you know. I think Eugene and I will laugh more when one of us is flailing and doing really badly. When we make mistakes or we blow it, then we'll laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But we generally don't laugh when the take is good, when someone's doing great work, you know, because that's why. Why sabotage?
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Obviously, there have been changes in Maura over three seasons. How do you think she's evolved as a character since she first arrived in Schitt's Creek?
I think not much.
Oh, really?
I think... I like to think not much. Because, you know, I think the kids... the kids are adult children, Alexis and David. I think they... You know, they were basically raised in captivity. And, you know, we gave them all this freedom, but there was no freedom, really, because we didn't raise them. We didn't parent them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we just threw money at them. And that money allows people to separate from each other, you know, really. Of course, no one wants to be that close with poverty, God bless us. But, you know, anyway, they've lived these separate lives you know, so now they are, I think, feeling more like they have a home than they've ever felt. And they're very different characters, I think. David is obviously having a hard time, harder time than Alexis. Alexis's life, I'd like to say that Alexis's life hasn't changed that much. She's basically concerned with guys and what she's wearing and, you know, and getting on her phone. It's the same life for her, almost. But she's starting to stick to us a little bit more and have, you know, actually have a sense of home, which I think is lovely. Same with David. And Johnny, I think, is trying to fit in but a lot of it is trying to build a business. You know, he's much more patient than Moira, but, you know, he's eventually moving towards having some more success in his life. I think just, if not to get out of this town, at least for himself and his own sense of worth, you know,
mm-hmm.
as somebody who was very successful, but I don't think any of us want all of us to become totally comfortable, or then it's a different show. And obviously, our wardrobe reminds people every day, all day long, who we think we still are.
Right.
And I love that about the wardrobe. Because it doesn't require you having to say in every scene, do you know who I think I am? You know, just look at us. But sorry, but I like to think, too, every time, you know, we'll do interviews together, the cast or even just Eugene, and I will do an interview together, and he'll talk about how we're getting more comfortable in the town, and, mm-hmm. you know, we might be there longer. And every time, on Moira's behalf, I'll say, what? You didn't tell me this. No. What do you mean? We're getting out. So I am hanging on to that. So I guess in that way, I think Moira hasn't changed that much. But Moira, I think Moira gets in, we're all getting more and more involved in the town as time goes on. Because you can only stand there and sulk for so long. But also I think because, you know, the singing came up with the, Moira found out about the Jazza gals, and it wasn't so much that Moira wanted to get entrenched in this group or, you know, start building friendships with these women as much as she thought, I'm a singer. You have a singing group and you haven't involved me? You know, that's all it's about in that moment. And then all of a sudden she's involved in it. And the same with the town council. It's like, wait a minute. You people don't know what you're doing and I know what I'm doing. And basically, I just wanted flowers to begin with. Some flowers around the motel.
Right.
You know, it's just not really thinking things through, but just sort of something comes up and she wants to prove something in that moment to somebody. But in the long run, it makes her get involved in the town and grow in a way that I guess you're seeing. But from my point of view, it's so, you know, tiny increment by increment. And the same way, and getting involved with kids, too, I think my character's starting to appreciate my children.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I love about the end of this season is David builds that store, and she's obviously proud of him, but she's proud of him in a way that's very delusional because she thinks, look what I've done, look what I have raised, and she's completely discounts his ability to do that on his own. I think she's still somehow thinking, I'm such a great mother, look what I've raised.
Yeah, there's a scene in the fourth season where Alexis achieves something pretty cool, and Moira says, I don't give you enough credit. There's a lot more of you. There's a lot more of me and you than I give you credit for.
Which is a great line.
Which they wrote, yes. But I'll tell you, a lot of the dialogue I soften, because they'll have me just outright be, once in a while, it's just like, no, why would I say this to anyone? I'm not that cruel. So I do soften a lot of it.
So,
but I think it's real insecurity on her part. Well, that's pretty obvious, but
right.
You know, this is not a secure, well-grounded person. I think she came from. We've kind of had a tiny bits of dialogue to give a hint at what her life was, but we haven't really discussed it much. But I think that she was not raised with any money. And I think she got out of her town. She came from a small town, is my thinking. And that's why she's the most threatened by this town.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a life she had. But it's also, you know, there's no denying where you're from, kind of. And that's what she fights too, these are her people. She just will never want to admit that. But, you know, she fought to get out of that town, and she got out, and who knows what she did to get out, but she got out. You know, and then she got with this rich guy who's, you know, just loves her for whatever reason and has been so good to her. And I think they have a lovely, solid love for each other. At least that's how we're playing it, so I believe it. But... Sorry, I'm going off too much. What am I talking about?
No, you're absolutely right. I do absolutely feel the love between those two characters. That's what makes it so, you know, it's grounded. It is a family that is sort of growing back together. You know, they've obviously been separated, but there is a beauty to that. There's a family that's reconnecting. And, you know, due to unfortunate circumstances, but maybe, you know, that's sort of the beauty of the show is that they do grow back together and they have this, they're learning how to be a family for the first time, I think, in their lives.
Oh, yeah, and these family moments that that normal families take for granted or have experienced so often, you know, maybe they don't take for granted, but just the lovely moments that happen between family members When the Roses experience, it's completely alien.
Right.
Which I love. You know, it's like there'll be a tender moment and it's like, ugh, what is this?
Emotions.
yeah, as opposed to, oh, aren't we amazing the way we're connecting? You know, it's just, what is this feeling? And liking it but not knowing it and, right. And you know, hoping to get it again but not even knowing how it happened that time. You know, there's a lovely ignorance. There's lovely blissful ignorance about this family.
So my last question for you, because I know we're running short of time, where will...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't give such long answers.
No, they're great. I could talk to you for hours, and I know obviously you don't have hours, but this has been fantastic, and thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Season 4, where will that take her thematically? I don't want to give away any spoilers, of course, but where will... What will we see Moira doing, you know, just in very abstract terms?
Working with Alexis on something.
Okay.
You know, again, thinking that she's doing all the work and then, you know, barely giving Alexis credit for it. But again, that's out of insecurity. You know, it's just she can't see the good in her family without thinking, oh, what part did I play in this? Please don't, you know, don't have a life without me. I would just say, and it kind of scared me when I first read some of the scripts. Yeah, I'd say she's a little more relaxed. I think she's starting to relax a bit, in the town. And, I think, actually kind of, maybe building friendships with the Jazzy Gals and just, I think all of us are just getting more and more involved with the townspeople, even Moira.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, Catherine, thank you so much for your time. Hopefully I haven't inconvenienced
you. Not at all. No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for talking to me.
And take care. And I
or
can't
letting
wait
me talk.
Oh, no. It's been fantastic. And it's just such a... It's really kind of a life's dream. Ever since I remembered... I was 15 years old. You made me cry in Home Alone when I was 15. When you come home to Kevin, and it was just like my 15-year-old hormonal self was just erupting into tears.
That's lovely. So, that's great. Yeah, so, that was a well-done movie, wasn't it? Wow.
We still watch it and I share that with my kids now. So. Thank you so much for that, and thank you for this time. It's really, really...
Thank you, and thanks for watching the show and telling people about it. That's all I care about. I love doing the show, and I love the cast and crew and the writers and all. And it's just nice to think that more people will see it.
Absolutely. Well, we will continue ringing that bell as loudly as we can.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.